Now what we're going to do is go to Genesis chapter 7. I mean chapter 8, I'm sorry. Let's go to chapter 8. And Ann is going to read verse 4. Thank you, Ann. Let's look at what happened. Go ahead, Ann.
And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat.
Now, it says the ark rested on the seventh month, on the 17th day. If you will, go up two or three verses and just get the context of that. And I'm going to be going to Ezra to pick up something else.
And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountain of Ararat.
So what we see is if we did not go through and read everything about the flood, we did not read about the wickedness of man or his ungodliness, the reason that God sent the flood. But what we did do is we looked to see when after the flood or what had happened during the flood, when it rested. See, the water stayed on the earth longer than 40 days. 40 days and 40 nights of the rain. But all the water did not come from the rain. The Bible says explicitly that the fountains of the deep were open. The water from the windows of heaven came down. And the water sat on top of the earth. I think it was 100-something days that the water raised. And then the waters went down. I think it's about 370-something days before they were able to come out of the ark. But the beautiful thing was it was on the 17th day of the seventh month. Now, what I want us to begin to understand is that that month, some call it the month of Nisan. But if we go to Exodus chapter 12, I want us to see something new that's introduced by God. So give Ann a moment as she go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 for me. You already there, precious?
And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of month. It shall be the first month of the year to you.
Notice, he is telling them, this is something new for you. And what this is that it doesn't matter what this month was called before. Are you seeing how God is talking? This month will be the new month for you. And since it is the new month for you, you're going to have a new name for the month. But remember, by them being on the type of calendar that went with the moon, you can tell when the new month starts. But this month, will now have a different name. Read it again, precious.
And Yahweh spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house.
On the tenth day of this new month, not new because it's just a new month insofar as we're changing the name, it's new because now I've designated you a separate calendar from everybody else. See, the other people, it didn't matter what month it was. But he's saying to you, this will be the first month. Now, based on what we asked before, does it really matter whether that was going to be the first day of the month and in the first month of the year to them? Yes, it does. Now, he's telling them what to do in this month. In this month, on the 10th day, I want you to, if you're still there, ask, what are they supposed to do?
Take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house.
Now, somebody might say, why are you reading this? Why did you start with Noah? Because in 1 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 7, Paul calls Christ our Passover. Good Friday is supposed to come the Friday before Easter. Easter has been called what we call the Passover. So therefore, what I'm doing is giving you a background. What is the background? How does this tie? How does it expose the myth of Good Friday? One, God had delivered his people out of the bondage of sin, out of the bondage of wickedness, and what he did was destroy the whole world. That's what he said he did. And he saved them out of that world. And when they came out in the seventh month, this was a new world for them to live in. He had shown his power and his victory. He had dealt with sin instead of using animals as a sacrifice. He let the people die for their own sins. Now, we see the descendants of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, or Japheth. We see Shem is where Abraham comes through. We skipped a whole lot of years, and we get to the place where they had been in captivity by the sons of Ham, which are the Egyptians. The sons of Shem that had come there, they had been in bondage, and they were in bondage where the world system was wicked. They had all kind of gods that God had shown they weren't the real God. Now God is getting ready to bring them out and give them a new land like he gave Noah. He gave Noah a new land. And if you look at it, the earth had been cleansed. We got a new start. He's bringing them out of the bondage of Egypt and said, I'm going to give you a new start. So, this is going to be the first month for you. On the 10th day, you take a lamb and you set it apart from that day to the 14th. I'm going to show you that that's the same thing that they were to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Read on, Ann. After the 10th, go start where you feel you need to because I held you up.
And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it between the evening.
And you keep it to that day and you kill it between the evening. Not at the evening, which is the next day, but between the evenings. Before you change over to the next day. So, you're killing the lamb on the 14th between the evening. Please read.
And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it.
So what we have here is a dinner. What we have here is a picture of God taking you out of that evil land. He's allowing, and the land is evil because of man. It's not evil because of the dirt and the trees, etc. I'm trying to make sure that I'm clear. But I'm bringing you out of that world of bondage, and I'm bringing you into a new world where you'll be bound to me. I am going to redeem you. The Bible used these words as redeem. I'm going to buy you out of slavery. I'm going to use the lamb as just like you died for yourself. The lamb is going to take your sin upon you figuratively. And when I execute judgment on the firstborn of all of these lands or whoever's there, because they had more than just Egyptians there. As if you read, you'll find there was a mixed multitude even that came out. And we know that the Hyksos has been there, the Hyksos. The Hyksos, those Semitic people had been there during the time when Hatshepsut was able to take Moses in, okay? And we know that when Joseph was there, that the Egyptians did not want to eat the Semitic people, but it had already been determined from what I've read in history, it was easy for Joseph to mingle in because the shepherd kings, the Semites, had taken over Egypt. So they had different nations there, but I'm going to bring you out and make you a nation to me. And for you, this is the first day of the month. It's the first month. On the 10th day, you take this animal, and I'm going to use this particular picture of me redeeming you out of Egypt throughout the Bible. Throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, Somebody say, how did you get the Passover then from Genesis to Revelation? I'm just going to go back and say that that was that the Bible showed sacrifices before, and that God allowed animals to take the place of an individual in sin. Then he brought it down to that one lamb that would be able to use it to Passover to bring them out. And I'm showing you the picture that throughout the Bible, if you read the book of the Revelation, they're going to talk about the song of Moses. They're going to talk about plagues again. And so this picture is what God uses throughout the Bible to throw in their face. You know, when people say, if you do something for somebody, you love somebody, you don't throw in your face what you did. God does. I'm the Lord that brought you up out of Egypt. I'm the one that brought you out with a mighty hand. One time the people said, well, Moses gave us bread to eat in the milk wilderness. John chapter 6. Jesus said, Moses didn't give you that. My Father gave you that bread. And he's the one that's giving you the true bread now. So the point that's being made here is this is how the sacrifice was done. I'm telling you, you don't have to take it on faith yet. You can go through the Bible. I would have to read a lot of scriptures in the Bible to show you that this is what God is setting up for his son. And the question is, did it matter to them if they slayed the animal on the 14th day or if they had waited till not between the evening but the next evening? To slay the animal, would it matter? I'm on the feedback.
Oh, yeah. It matters. It definitely matters.
What if they decided, well, we'll get the animal the same day. We don't want to keep an animal in our house for 10 days, looking at it and inspecting it or wherever it is. We can wait and buy one the same day.
Now, God gave them explicit instructions. And, you know, now you got the instructions. So it matters.
And it's a salvation issue.
Thank you. Oh, you know, I had forgot that part. I forgot that part because truly without that lamb, there was no salvation to be brought out of Egypt. Whoever did not obey, they would be put to death. Now what we're going to do for the sake of time, we're not going to cut out everything. We want to kind of look and see how Jesus fits into that. We want to use for our premise that Christ is our Passover. I've quoted it. I want somebody to read it. 1 Corinthians 5 and 7. I want at least to make sure we got that set, that this is biblical. So sometimes I might quote something. I might quote the right words and have the wrong reference. You ever done that before?
Yeah.
You quote the scripture, but you say it's in James, but it might be in Hebrews.
Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, which ye may be, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Christ is called our Passover. And I'm glad she read that scripture, because I left out that those people, not only were they supposed to have the lamb, they were supposed to get all the leaven out of the house. Because the reason that he said he's going to sacrifice it between the evens, this is what they were doing, Sister Curry. They were getting the leaven out. They're going to kill the lamb to put the blood on the doorpost with the hyssop. They're going to do it between the evening, because when the next evening, you know, within a couple of hours, when it's no longer between the evening is the first of the day. Somebody say, Tim, where do you get that from? In Genesis 1, it says, God created the heaven and earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And it says, God said, let there be light. There was light. The evening and the morning were the first day, not the morning and the evening. When God said, let the dry land appear, the evening and the morning were the first day. When God said, let the vegetation appear, and he saw that it was good, the evening and the morning were the fourth, the evening and the morning were the third day. When he made the stars, the moon, and the planets, and the lights in the sky, the evening and the morning were the fourth day when it was good. When God made the land animals, then made a big beast to come out of the earth, and he saw it was good. The evening and the morning was the fifth day. When God made man in his image, and the image of God, he made them male and female. He saw it was good. The evening and the morning were day six. It does not reverse after the sixth day and go morning to evening. So when you slay that animal between the evening, you kill it on the 14th. But when the evening comes, it becomes the 15th. And that is what we start calling the Feast of Unleavened Bread. bless the Lord's name. Now I'm going to go to Leviticus chapter 23, and I'm going to show you that, make sure we got it down. We've gone through Leviticus before. And are there anything that I've gone too fast or was unclear on thus far? Leviticus 23, start at the first verse, and I just want to get that unleavened bread and probably go just a little bit to what is called the first fruits. And then we'll move on with our looking at the myth of Good Friday exposed. We're building it up. What we're doing is, if Good Friday is not a myth, then in actuality, it should have been what we call Friday. Amen. What is called the sixth day of the week. It should be, that's the day that Christ was crucified. And it should be consistent if Christ is our Passover, if the pattern is being fulfilled for him. And Jesus said he didn't come to destroy the law, Matthew 5:17. It said he came to fulfill it. Jesus is the one that says in Luke chapter 24, all of these things in the scripture, in Moses, the writings, and the prophets concern him. Luke 24 at the end of it, when he comes to meet the other disciple, meets the other disciples because he talked to two on the road to Emmaus. Then it says the Psalms, the writings, and the prophets are about him. Now, if you're claiming that they're about you, and this is God's, you know, this is who I am. I brought you out of Egypt, out of the fiery furnace. Don't ever go back. And if John the Baptist called you the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world, and if Paul said you are Passover, then it should be really plain that it's Good Friday. And we should be able to see if it's salvific. We already have seen it was salvific for the first. Why would it be salvific for us? Obviously, Paul is saying we got to pass over through something. Paul is saying we got to get some kind of leaven of the old nature or world out of us. But what does it say in Leviticus 23, Andrina?
And Yahweh spake unto Moshe, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feast of Yahweh.
Do you remember what the word feast means, the Hebrew word for that?
Moedim.
Moedim, yes, sir. And you all hit it on the plural, too, because it's moed when it's singular. So since she's there, I'm going to go to Genesis, and I'm going to show again Genesis 1:14 so that we can see that this is what we're talking about. Genesis 1:14, God said, and let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Does anybody remember what the word seasons is? Seasons. But the Hebrew word for seasons. It's Moedim. Okay. So the feast, what we call the feast, or the seasons, or the Moedim, God's appointed time. So even back in Genesis, bless his everlasting name, the very thing that Moses is carrying out is talked about. They hadn't been given this season yet. But God had already set up for it before he even made man. This is day four. I just went through the days. Day six, man comes. God makes the plants and vegetation first before he ever makes the sun and the moon. So don't say that the plants had to have sunlight to live, because God knows what he's doing. I don't want you all to worship the sun and moon and the stars. So now we go back to Leviticus 23, and when it says these are the seasons or the feast or the Moedim of the Lord. Okay, I think I made that clear. Did I? Okay, go ahead, Precious, 23:1.
And Yahweh spake unto Moshe, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of Yahweh, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts.
That word convocation is assembly. This is a set apart, holy assembly. Please read.
6 days shall work be done. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein.
This is one of the days that he has set up, the seventh day. This is what you're going to do, speak to the children of Israel. It didn't say speak to the Gentiles. It didn't say speak to the other nations. This is for you. You are the one that I have made my firstborn. They're not my firstborn yet. You haven't done your job in converting the world yet. So for you, this is what you're going to do. I don't even know if they were keeping Sabbath before then. Bless his everlasting name. Just because the day was set up and said, and God rested. It did not say Adam rested. Adam was created before day seven, and Adam was not created a baby. Am I right? Bless his everlasting name to sit between the cherubim. Verse number 4.
These are the feasts of Yahweh.
These are the feasts, these are the seasons, these are the Moedim of Yahweh.
Even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons.
And you will proclaim them in their Moed, that you will proclaim them in their feast. Now, do you understand that's the same word? It's translated differently in those two places. Where it says, these are the feasts, it could have said, these are the seasons of the Lord, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their feast. Same word. But it helps the English reading people to see what's going on. Please read on, Precious.
In the 14th day.
In the 14th day.
Of the first month.
Remember, we were in chapter 12. We saw that I'm going to call this now the first month to you. This is your first month of the calendar. Go ahead.
In the 14th day of the first month, at even, is Yahweh's Passover.
It's Yahweh's Passover. And that word is Pesach or Pesach. And this is where we're dealing with, this is the day that I did what I did in chapter 12 through 14 when I protected you from the angel of death that I sent. It's what we call it Passover. We don't call it Easter. It has nothing to do with a story. It has nothing to do with a rabbit. It has nothing to do with a bunny. It has nothing to do with that green grass put around. It has nothing to do with the fertility. It actually has to do with God redeeming somebody. But maybe that doesn't matter to people anymore. Maybe truth doesn't matter. Maybe we don't want to know the truth. Jesus came, I came to bear witness of the truth. Jesus said, sanctify them through their truth. Thy word is truth. And maybe we don't care about truth, but he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. When I die, it's going to be the truth of the issue that God has set up in his daily feast or his yearly feast. Bless his everlasting name. Now I'm going to change my voice and go back to my soft voice. So, it says in the 14th day at even, it's the Lord's Pesach or Passover. Read the next verse.
And on the 15th day of the same month, it's the feast of unleavened bread unto Yahweh.
Understand what this is, Brother Charles, Brother Rich. This is the evening. I'm splitting this circle in half. I'm putting evening on one side, and then I'm putting morning. I'm going to do it right here again, evening and morning. Okay? And I put on the inside here. This is going to be day 13. This will be day 14. And I'm going to make one for day 15. Okay, when you do this, that's American way of seeing stuff. That is not how it works in the Bible. It really doesn't. The way it works in the Bible is you have evening here, and you have morning here, and this is the day, 13. So you still have a piece of 12 for that next evening. Do you see what I'm saying? So when you get to 14, you got evening here, morning, evening, morning. I'm giving my little thing, morning and evening. And this will be day 15. Am I making sense? I hope I am. So, on the 14th day, between the evenings, so you got the evening that started here of the 14th. You're not killing the Passover here. That night, on the night of the 13th, you're not killing the Passover that night, but that's the 14th starts that night. So you have from, let's say, from 6 o'clock, for the sake of illustration, from 6 o'clock that morning to 6 o'clock that evening, you got to kill this lamb. Because after 6 o'clock, it goes into the 15th. I'm using it for illustrative purposes. So you kill it between the evening. Here's the evening. right here, the evening of the 15th. Here's the evening of the 14th. Mm-hmm. You kill it between the evenings. So it's actually killed on the 14th because you got to do it before this evening starts. When this evening starts right here, the night of the 14th is actually the 15th. Do you follow me? We do the same thing in America. We say at 12 a.m., that's it. At 12 a.m., it's a new day. 11:59, you'll say, well, you know, Saturday be gone in 30 seconds, 29, 28, etc. They just did it here because God said it. Our day starts at night, too. It does. Our day starts at night. All right, so it says, in the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. That's when Paul was saying, purge out the old leaven. They had to purge out theirs before they killed the lamb. They were supposed to have unleavened bread. And it says, 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day you shall have a what, Ann?
Holy convocation.
That's very important. We're going to have a holy assembly, but there's something that comes up in it that is so good and it's so powerful. Tell us what it is, and what comes up in the convocation?
Ye shall do no servile work therein.
If you do no servile work therein, what is that saying?
A Sabbath.
A Sabbath. A Sabbath. That's what it's saying. On the 15th day, do you see it? And on verse 6. On the 15th day of the month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day, you shall have a holy convocation. That means the very evening that you kill the Passover, when it rolls into day 15, that's a Sabbath. Okay, do the bottom one. Okay. This evening, right here, it starts the 14th. If you kill the Passover right here, before evening comes on the 15th, you kill it. When you move it to the next day, you eat it, which is the 15th. You eat the Passover. This is a Sabbath. The very evening of the 14th, when it rolls into 15th, that's when we call the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That is a Sabbath. If we were doing it in America, the 14th would be morning. Evening, here's the 14th. So then what would happen is at 12 o'clock, that's when we would call it the 15th. The next day, it's just the switching of a minute or the moving of the sun to evening. They did morning and evening. The point being made is it could still be little daylight, and now you moved it to another Sabbath. That's very important. That's the most important thing I want you to realize. He's killed on the 14th. That evening becomes the 15th and goes into an immediate Sabbath. Let's see if there's anything else in this that I want. Read the next. I don't think so. This is all I need. Yeah, we do. Well, let's take number 9. We need number 9. I'm sorry. Yeah, number 9 down probably to 12. Absolutely. Do so.
Is the day that he's killed on, is that a Sabbath also? So do you have...
No, it is and it isn't.
Okay, it is and it isn't.
Okay, it is because the day changes insofar as daylight is still a day. Right. But the date of the day changes. Okay.
Are you asking if Passover is the Sabbath? I mean, the day that he's killed.
So really, is the day that he's killed and the next day, which would be the Feast of Unleavened Bread, are they both Sabbaths?
No.
Okay.
Only the first day of unleavened bread.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I had mixed up.
Evening. Okay. Morning. And this is 14. Okay.
So Passover is not a Sabbath.
Here's the problem. Even when I write it, I have to make sure that I do it like this, 14 this way, because you still tied to 13 like that, and then you have evening and morning. Because what happened is I'm thinking Hebraically, but I'm drawing American.
So the day that you eat of the lamb is the Sabbath.
Nope. Yeah. You eat that evening. That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, here is 14. Evening and morning, the night of the 13th, is really the beginning of the day. And the 14th, this thing, if this is from 6 o'clock, I wish this pen would write. Let me find another one. So let's say that's 6 in the evening, and then this would be what we call 12, and then we would have what is called 6 in the evening here, and 6 in the day here, 24 hours. 6 times 4 is 24. At this evening, right here, Brother Charles, you got to kill the animal sometime here, maybe between 3 and 6. Mm-hmm. You kill it. Once we get to 6 o'clock, it's day 15. Mm-hmm. But it's still the evening that started as the 14th.
Right.
Follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So here's the beautiful part. In that evening, now is Sabbath. This is a special Sabbath, because this Sabbath only comes once a year. And that's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It seems like it's the Sabbath day. I mean, it seems like it's the Passover, because you're still doing something in that same day, but the day changes. You know, like you could go to work, if you work from 11 to 6, and you go to work one day, but you're actually working 2 days, a portion of 2 days. All right, I just wanted to bring that out. And verse number 9, please, Ann.
And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before Yahweh, to be accepted for you. On the morrow, after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it.
So the first fruit is coming, the first is showing the first Sabbath. It's saying the Sabbath, read it again, because this is very confusing, this part right here. And don't laugh at me.
And he shall wave the sheaf before Yahweh to be accepted for you. On the morrow, after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it.
Now, here's where we're going to go. We're going to go and see how Jesus fulfilled this, to see whether Good Friday is a myth. Is it possible that you could have a Good Friday? Or can we determine from the scripture it's an absolute impossibility to have a Good Friday? I want this myth exposed. And I'm going to do my best to do it from what we call the New Testament. I've given us the background of it. I've given a little taste of what it represents, because Paul said this is how it applies to us. So we can't say that, well, we're not Jewish, it don't matter to us. So let's go to the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John, and we go to 12:1, and that's going to give us a little bit of the timeline. This is what they call the Passion Week. I don't know why they call it the Passion Week. I mean, I understand that his passion is shown here, but just for the sake of familiarity, that's what it is. Take me to verse 1, Anne.
Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover.
6 days before the Passover. So now we're looking around the 8th, correct? If it's on the Passover. So remember, the Passover was set before Jesus came in flesh.
Uh-huh.
They were told to keep this. This is one of the 7 that Anne just read about. So 6 days before the Passover, what happened?
He came to Bethany, where Lazarus was which had been dead. Whom he raised from the dead.
It's okay. And then, I want you to move down to verse 12 for the sake of time, because
that's
John 12. Now we move it down to the 12th verse, because we started with 6 days before the Passover, and then verse 12 going to tell us something else.
On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord.
So on the next day, we're talking about 5 days before, We see that's what happened 5 days before. Now, if you remember, when you get to the 10th day, you're supposed to take the lamb and you're supposed to inspect it, right? Look at chapter 13, verse 1.
That's first John.
No, the Gospel of John. And let me look at my time. Give me a second. Okay. I'm at 49 minutes. I may come back and get this. Let me get to the, you're not getting a joke, they have the punchline. I have a punchline that I want to deal with in this one. Let's look at Mark chapter 16 that I gave you all early. Let me move a little bit toward the punchline. Okay, I got to turn to it first. Give me a second. That's okay.
Mark 16.
Yeah, but I got a computer. I just type it in. Mark 16 and 1. Notice this. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Now, let's deal with the myth of Good Friday. Haven't we been told so many times that Jesus was killed on Good Friday now? Am I right? All right, so he's killed on Good Friday. Here is the Good Friday. The GF is for Good Friday. Throw this one away. It was not right. He's killed on Good Friday. And he's killed. They say he's killed a little bit before Good Friday. That's what they want to say. Am I correct? But let's leave it like they say. He's killed in the evening. They say that's a part of day one. So he's in the grave all day on Saturday. Correct? That's Sabbath, right?
Right.
And then they say he raises up Sunday morning. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay, Sunday morning. They say it's the day of the Lord. So they say you get a piece of Good Friday. That's evening. They count that as a day, all day Saturday. And then he's up Sunday morning. Some way that's 3 days. I guess you get a piece of Friday, you get a piece of Sabbath, you get a piece of Sunday. And that's 3 days. Now, do you see a problem with Good Friday? Listen to what it says that happened in the 16th chapter, verse 1. When the Sabbath was passed, we should be at Sunday now. Am I correct? Somebody help me now.
Yeah.
When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices. This is the day after Sabbath. That should at least be Sunday.
Yeah.
They bought spices. Aunt Ruby, they bought spices on the day after Sabbath. But Jesus is raised after Sabbath according to this scenario. Now they bought spices that Jesus is supposed to be raised from the dead. But listen, and very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw the stone had been rolled back. It was large. Okay? Notice, we see how that jumps, and it looks like it's confusing. So let me show you where you should hold your period. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they may go anoint him. Why are you going to anoint somebody after the Sabbath if the Sabbath is Sunday? If you read verse 2 and you don't really pay attention to what was said, you would think that the first day of the week is when it was. You can't do that. Okay, I'm glad you didn't. All right, if he's killed on Good Friday,
uh-huh.
If he's in the grave all day Saturday, which is Sabbath,
uh-huh.
That's the way we teach it,
right.
And he's raised Sunday morning, that's when the Sabbath is passed, which is already what we call Sunday, especially the way we teach it, is way different. Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James, they bought spices. First of all, you bought spices on the seventh day. I mean, on the first day. That would have been the first day. The Sabbath is past. He's supposed to be already raised. That they might go and anoint him. If the Sabbath is past, he should already be raised from the dead. You're going to buy spices to anoint him after the fact. Okay. That makes the point that the Sabbath is past if Good Friday is true. Let's see what happens. And very early, see that and makes it seem like this goes with that same day. And very early on the first day of the week when the sun had risen, they were saying one to another, who will roll away the stone from us for us from the entrance of the tomb. And the stone had been gone. Let me show you how this works. When we read Leviticus said you killed the Passover between Exodus said you kill them between the evens. Leviticus said you kill it in the evening. And then the 15th is the day of Feast of Unleavened Bread. It shall be a holy convocation. No servile work is to be done. Right? Let me show you how this really works. Let's go to Matthew 28:1. I'm going to read it to you out of Young's literal translation. And then I'm going to have Ann to read it to you in Matthew 28:1 out of the version that she's reading, okay? Because we got a real problem here if we don't think about it. Matthew 28:1, Young's literal translation, it just comes out and uses words and they don't really try to do a lot of interpreting for you. It says, on the eve of the Sabbaths, plural, at the dawn, toward the first of the Sabbaths, came Mary, the Mary Magdalene, and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And lo, there was a great earthquake, for the messenger of the Lord had come down, did roll the stone from the door, and was sitting upon it in his countenance, etc., etc. There are two Sabbaths in that week. He was put in the grave before the high Sabbath. That's what they were trying to get him in there. And how does that read in, not how does it read, but what does it say in the regular version?
In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher.
See, tell me what the high Sabbath is again.
The high Sabbath is that Sabbath of the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Okay.
That does not erase the seventh day Sabbath. Okay. So what has happened is by people, I would say, our Catholic brothers are those that were doing certain things at a certain time to get rid of what they said about the Jews. They were trying to move away from everything that had anything to do with Jewishness. And so by them doing that, they moved it away and said, we don't have anything to do with anything that they're doing that were Jews. And so they only counted one Sabbath. So what happened is, I'll read it in the scripture. If we look at John 19:31, listen to how this works. The Jews, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day. For that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and break the legs, etc. They were trying to get him in because this is the preparation day before you go into the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They were trying to get them in the grave. That was an automatic Sabbath at the end of that day. So they went to buy spices after this Sabbath. Not after the weekly Sabbath. They went to buy... Yes.
And then they went back.
And it was gone.
Okay.
So what happens is, and it's so pretty, the way God set it up.
So they were still in the week of the
Feast of Unleavened Bread. Jesus was raised on he was raised on the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and he was the first fruit. So what they have here is, I'm going to make 13, 14, 15, 16, so you can see. 13, I should do it in between, because every time I do it like that, it's wrong. So I put 13 in between these two circles, 14, and then 15. Here we have evening, morning. Can you see that's still 13? 14, evening, morning. 15, evening, morning. So what happened is they kill him here. We got him on the 13th in the evening. They kill him here. Now we start the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This is the high day right here, Rich.
Okay.
This is the high day. So I say, I believe he's killed on Wednesday. We got Wednesday here. And then Thursday, this will be Thursday. Okay? So they kill him here. All this day, he's in the grave. Okay. If I come here, that's morning, that's evening. So he's in the grave all day, what we call Thursday. Okay. He's in the grave, what we call all day Friday. But that evening of that Sabbath, he gets up. Because Friday evening is what we call Saturday. And he gets up from the grave. Now let me read it. Let me read some stuff to you and see if it helps a little better. Because I tell you what we learn a lot of times, that's what we learn a lot of times as tradition. We don't even know how we get these traditions. So I'm going to read, and I wanted to show you some Bible stuff and not just read. And then I think from there we'll just go with whatever problems you've had with what I said, where the confusion will be. But long as we know that we can continually go back and deal with these things, we can deal with it. One I want to just read from, I forget what this one is from. And make sure you keep your Bible with me, okay? With you, okay? Several software programs exist that enable us to calculate when the Passover and God's festival fall in a year. Those programs show that in the year AD 31, we estimate Jesus died in AD 31, not at 33, because calendars have been changed. The Passover meal was eaten on Tuesday night, and on Wednesday sundown marked the beginning of the high day. This is one. The first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Jesus was crucified and entombed on Wednesday afternoon, not Friday. Can we prove this from the Bible? I went and showed you Mark 16:1, and it showed you when the Sabbath was passed. If you all remember that, they bought spices. Now, in that time, if he was placed in a tomb directly, they would not be able to go buy those things because of the Sabbath. Since Jesus' body was placed in the tomb just before the high Sabbath, the women had no time to buy spices before the Sabbath. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Also, they could not have purchased them on the Sabbath day because stores were closed. Mark says they bought spices after the Sabbath was passed. Am I correct? If you will, and go to Luke 23:55 and look at that while I read some more. And let me know when you get it. And the women who came with Christ from Galilee followed. As they observed the tomb, how his body was laid, they returned and prepared spices, and they rested. Read it, precious.
And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointment, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment.
Now notice, you have two different instances that you could merge together. You have one set of women that want to go and buy. You see them going to buy the stuff. But when did they go buy it? It said they bought it after the Sabbath. Now you got them resting during the time of the Sabbath. It looks contradictory. But you have two Sabbaths. You really, during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you have the Feast of Unleavened Bread Sabbath, you have your weekly Sabbath, and then you have a Sabbath at the end of it. So, again, It says they rested on the Sabbath. Again, you say the problem here, Mark clearly states that the women bought spices after the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. Did I show that? When the Sabbath was passed, Luke tells us that the women prepared the fragrant oils, which they rested according to the commandment. So they bought spices after the Sabbath, and then they prepared the spices before resting. It is clear that the contradiction exists unless we deal with two Sabbaths. Either they bought the spices and prepared them, or they had the spices prepared them and rested, unless there's two Sabbaths mentioned. Mark tells us that after the high day, which begins Wednesday evening at sundown, ended on Thursday evening at sundown, the women brought the spices to anoint the body. Luke tells us that the women prepared the spices, the activity which would have taken place on that Friday, and afterward they rested on the Sabbath, the normal weekly Sabbath day, from Friday to sunset to Saturday sunset, according to the commandment. I want to tell you that Jesus didn't raise up in the morning. He raised up that night. The Sabbath day starts at what we call at night, or the Sabbath is ended at what we call at night. By comparing the details of both accounts, we can clearly see that two different Sabbaths are mentioned, along with the work day in between. The first Sabbath was a high day, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which fell on Thursday. The second weekly Sabbath, these events spelled out day-to-day detail. Now I'm going to read from Scott Seculo, because that may still seem to be a little confusing. And the reason it's confusing is this is not what we would talk first. But to have Jesus placed in the ground on Friday, and then he gets up Sunday morning, is not 3 days. Scott Seculo, he writes in his article, "We have seen that Jesus Christ was crucified and entombed on Wednesday just before the annual Sabbath began, not the weekly Sabbath. So when was he resurrected? In John 20 and 21, as noted earlier, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, listen, while it was dark, and saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. The sun had not risen. It was still dark when Mary found the tomb empty." Do you understand? For Good Friday to be true, you need that Easter sunrise, because you need him in there at least till Sunday, because we think from this side of town, this side of the world, that he got up in that morning, so he was in there a good part of the night, at least 12 hours on Sunday. She got there when it was dark. When does the day start, the first day of the week start for according to the Bible? In the evening of what we call Saturday. All right, so it says, obviously then, Jesus was not resurrected on sunrise Sunday morning. So when did it take place? The answer is plain if we simply read the Gospels in Jesus Christ's own words and accept them for what they say. This is where Ann was talking about early, when he talked about Jonah. I wrote it down. I'm looking at it. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, King James says whale instead of great fish, in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. He didn't say a part of 3 days and a part of 3 nights. He didn't say that. He said 3 days and 3 nights. Now, why is it important? The integrity of the scripture. The integrity of Jesus. Does Jesus not know how long he's going to be dead? Is Jesus a liar? Is Jesus making stuff up as they go? Why is it important? It's important because he claims to be the truth. He claims to be the one that's showing the truth. If you're wrong about that, you're wrong about everything. He said, this is my sign. 3 days and 3 nights, Rich. I can't make 3 days and 3 nights be from Friday evening to Sunday morning. I get Friday evening, Saturday evening. I don't get Sunday evening. I get Saturday morning, and I don't even get sunrise Sunday morning. I don't get 3 days and 3 nights. Either the Bible is wrong or Good Friday is a myth. That's, it just doesn't stand. So when the ungodly say, you all just going to fix anything to make the Bible say what it says. All right. Don't say what you say it says. It says, as we have proven, Jesus was entombed in the heart of the earth just before sundown Wednesday. Again, sundown Wednesday. Here is your Wednesday. And here's your 14th, okay? And you got your all your days again. Just before sundown Wednesday, killed. All day here, and get up in the evening here. One, two, three.
Count the one, two, three again.
Here's a half of the day. You get in, you kill him right before here. Mm-hmm. And you get up before the evening here. Here's a half of a day. And you got two whole days here. Okay. One plus one plus one half plus one half.
Okay.
I mean, I'm drawing it from understanding what's taking place. If you kill just before the evening and you get up just before the evening, you got a half of what we call the day before they kill you. Are you with me, too, Ann? Any problem with it? Okay, because I may be explaining it not the best way possible. And it says that we have proven Jesus was placed in the heart of the earth just before sundown on a Wednesday. All we have to do is count forward. One day and one night brings us to Thursday at sundown. Another day and night brings us to Friday at sundown. A third day and night brings us to Saturday at sundown. According to Jesus Christ's own words, he would have been resurrected 3 days and three nights after he was entombed, around the same time near sunset. Does this fit the scriptures? Yes, as we have seen, he was already risen and the tomb was empty when Mary arrived while it was still dark on Sunday morning. While there was no one around to witness his resurrection, which took place in a sealed tomb, watched over by guarded angels, Christ's own words and the details recorded in the gospel show that it had to have happened 3 days and three nights after his burial, near sunset, at the end of the weekly Sabbath. Because Saturday at evening ends the Sabbath and you go into day one or day eight, the first day of the week. Try as you might, it's impossible to fit 3 days and three nights into a late Friday burial and Sunday morning resurrection. Good Friday, Easter Sunday tradition isn't true. It isn't biblical. But when we look at all the details recorded in the Gospels and compare them with Jesus' own words, we can see the truth that it matches perfectly. The words of the angels so startled the women at the empty tomb are proven true. Do not be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen as he said. How did he say? As Jonah was in the belly of the great fish 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man 3 days and three nights. But we can hang to the traditions if we want to. Let's look a little bit more. When did the resurrection of Yeshua occur? What day would you celebrate? Here's a rabbi. This is a messianic rabbi talking here. What day would you celebrate the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth or Yeshua? This has been a question that has plagued the church for thousands of years. It must be noted that the disciples made no mention of marking the birth or resurrection of Yeshua as the feast days for the early followers. How does it mean that we should not celebrate these events? In Judaism, the Jewish people added the Feast of Purim, which is Hanukkah, as a memorial of God's intervention on their behalf. We see that Jesus came in during the Feast of Dedication, which is what they call Hanukkah. He came into Jerusalem in the winter and walking inside the temple in the colonnade area. Listen to this. It was not until the 2nd century when the debate concerning the date to celebrate the resurrection in 425 A.D. that the Council of Nicaea convened and settled the debate. Following the Jewish calendar, the first Sunday following the spring equinox was fixed. However, there were several fallacies concerning this decision. The real question we need to ask is, do we know when Yeshua arose? We know the day of the week, but what day does it correspond to? We do not celebrate our birthdays on the day of the week we were born, but rather the date. And the same can be said of the holidays of the 4th of July. What are you saying here? If the 4th of July, the first time, was 1776 on a Monday, we wouldn't do it every Monday and every year. If it's on a Wednesday one year, if it's on a Saturday, for people that work for jobs that give vacation to 5 days a week, we want our holiday on that Monday. We don't want to be like, man, we missed it. Because it came on a Saturday. Okay? God commanded the Israelites to celebrate feasts, Passover, unleavened bread, Feast of First Fruits, Latter Fruits, Yom Teruah, the day of blowing the trumpets, Yom Kippur, the day of Atonement's coat, Feast of Tabernacles, and Shabbat. All of these feasts corresponded to a date, not just a day, versus a day on the calendar. Even Shabbat is celebrated every 7 days. The only reason why the resurrection is celebrated on the first Sunday after the spring equinox is because Constantine's hatred for the Jewish people, as you can read from his statements concerning the celebration of the resurrection. You hear a lot of stuff about Constantine? Here is his quote. It appeared an unworthy thing that the celebration of this most holy feast, which we should follow the practice of the Jews. For we have it in our power, if we abandon their custom, to prolong their due observance of this ordinance in future ages by a truer ordinance. For their boast is absurd, indeed, that it is not in our power, without instruction from them, to observe these things. Being altogether ignorant of the true adjustment of this question, they sometimes celebrate Passover twice in a year. Until this time, the celebration of the resurrection was celebrated in conjunction with the Feast of Passover. Scott says, are you confused yet? For almost 1,600 years, believers have been celebrating the resurrection on a date it really didn't happen on. Does the scripture relate to us? Now, let me show you something, what Constantine said. They did celebrate Passover twice in a year. Do you remember why? Anybody? Throw it out there, if you know. Some people were unclean. Listen to what the Bible says, Numbers 8 and 26. But you shall minister with your brethren in the tabernacle of the congregation to keep the charge and do no service. Thus shall the Levites do in their charge. And the Lord spake to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year. What happened in the first month? Passover. After they would come out of the land of Egypt, saying, let the children of Israel keep the Passover at his appointed season. In the 14th day of the month, at even, you shall keep his appointed season to all the rites concerning it, according to all the ceremonies you shall keep it. And Moses spake to the children of Israel, they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, even in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the children of Israel. Verse 6. Listen, and there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron that day. And those men said unto him, we are defiled by a dead body of a man. Wherefore are we kept back that we may not offer an offering to the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel? And Moses said unto them, stand still. And I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. And the Lord spake to Moses. So now we got Moses talking to the Lord about something that's happened on this particular case. Here we're going to say, and the Lord spake to Moses, speak to the children of Israel. And my page don't want to slide down. There it is. It's still bothering me. I'm in chapter 9. I moved to chapter 9. And I was almost through with it, but I was actually reading from my notes. I just clicked on my Bible now. I'm good now. And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, verse 9, 9 and 9 now, if any man of you or your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body or being a journey far off, yet he shall keep the Passover to the Lord the 14th day of the second month. At even they shall keep it and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it to the morning, nor break a bone of it. According to the ordinance of the Passover, they shall keep it. But if the man is clean and is not on a journey, and he forbear to keep the Passover, even that same soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of the Lord in his appointed season. Do you understand? Constantine didn't know what he was talking about. They keeping it twice in the year to do like God said. Does it matter? Yes, the days matter. It matters because, first of all, that's what God gave them to do. Secondarily, the reason that they give for not keeping it is bogus. If they keeping it twice in a year, it's a reason for them doing that. I was reading in one of the canons. I have books, the Church Fathers, Canon 7, number 8. If any bishop or presbyter or deacon shall celebrate the holy day of Easter before the vernal equinox with the Jews, let him be disposed. This comes from the Apostolical Canons, H.C. Percival, translation 1900, in Philip Schaff and H. Waite's editions, a select library of the Nicene and post-Nicene Fathers of the Church. So when I say they didn't like the Jews, I want you to understand I'm telling you the truth. Let me go back to secular now. Until this time, the celebration of the resurrection was celebrated in conjunction with the feast of the Passover. Are you confused yet? I read that. It says, we have been celebrating the resurrection on a day that it did not happen. Does the scripture reveal to us the date? The Brit Kadishah or the New Testament or the Renewed Testament reveals the true resurrection. Everyone agrees that Yeshua was raised on the first day of the week. To remember the new days began at sunset, not sunrise. Therefore, the first day of the week begins on sunset Saturday. To determine the correct date of the resurrection, you need to reconstruct the events of the week. According to John 12, we can see when he came in 6 days before, Yeshua came to where Eleazar had been raised from the dead. It gives the dinner and the hour. John 12:12 tells us about the next day. It's the Hebrew month of Nisan. And this date is very important because this is the day the lambs are to be sacrificed and brought to the temple so that they can be inspected. So the lamb that are to be sacrificed, they would bring to the temple at this time. The first time they brought them home, when I was reading in Exodus, to give you that. Yeshua fulfilled the time outlined in Torah because of the fact He is the ultimate Passover. Reading from the scripture, we see that he was inspected on the high priest during these 4 days. You know, they would check him and they would, are you the king of the Jews? And they want to know who he was. They came to get his disciples. They brought him to Pilate, sent him to Caesar. All of this happened in those 4 days. It says, on the 14th day of Nisan, he was crucified and his blood was shed for all our sin. He was put in the tomb sunset of the 14th. Thursday, day one, he remained in the tomb because sunset on Wednesday, we go into the next day. Day one, he remained in the tomb all the day 15th. Friday, day two, he rose at sunset at the end of Shabbat. The end of Shabbat is what we would call Saturday on day 16. Day three, by the actual day of Sunday, he was already risen from the dead, which is the 16th of Nisan. This happened to correspond with another Jewish feast called the Feast of First Fruits. Now, you might be saying, I thought the Jewish Sabbath was from Friday night to sunset Saturday night. How can Thursday be a Sabbath? The answer is several Jewish holidays is what is called High Sabbath. And I showed you all that, too, when it, on the High Sabbath. It says these Sabbaths can fall on any day of the week, and Christ is called the first fruits of them that slept. The myth of the Good Friday means that Jesus would be a lie. When I say a lie, that's the same word. That's what we say as children. You a lie, but his word is actually you a liar. He cannot be killed on Good Friday and stay in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. He cannot be killed on Good Friday and stay in the graves 3 days and three nights and get up in sunrise and be up and out of the tomb before the sunrise while it's still dark. There is a difference between sunrise and getting up in the dark. He said 3 days and three nights. He's in the ground on the day of the 15th completely. He's in the ground on the day of the 16th completely. When the next day comes, he gets up before the day changes. He gets up. He had what we call... the evening of the last part of the Sabbath. So he could have gotten up at that exact time, but all he had to do was get up at the same time he was killed. And that's 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The myth of Good Friday allows for you to always say he was crucified on a Friday. That's impossible. The Passover is not always the same day every year. The Passover this year would be on what we call Monday. So Monday would be, you know, what we call Monday. So the way it would work is he would be killed on the evening of the 14th.